This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Today's show, we will discuss something rarely that you hear on a baseball educational podcast, but extremely vital to the development of players, and that is how to apply specific functional yoga, Pilates, and mindset conditioning to enhance player performance. This is going to be a show you will never forget. This is Pete Caliendo. I'm the host of Baseball Outside the Box, and I am thrilled that you can join us for today's show because we have something that we feel is detrimental to the development of baseball players, and we're going to bring it to you. Let me tell you about our special guest. We're going to make a couple announcements, and then we will bring our guest on, Catherine Roberts. We bring this conversation with the best in the business, no doubt about it. I've got to know her over the last few days. We've had many conversations. I've researched a lot about her. I mean, she's definitely at the top of her industry when it comes to human performance for sports. She's a human performance expert who specializes in baseball. I'm a certified yoga, Pilates, and Pilates instructor, and get this, a degree in chain reaction biomechanics. She has worked with over 15 major league and minor league teams, currently the Chicago Cubs, and also she's worked with the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Rangers, and so many more teams. You are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, you could reach her at, she's got a lot of great information on Instagram. That is human_performance_4_sports. Lots of great developmental stuff that you will learn daily. She has stuff on there all the time. And don't worry, everything we're about to tell you will be on our show notes. She's also at Twitter at Roberts Yoga. Check her out. And her website, humanperformance4sports.com. So before we begin, please, this show is dedicated to a very good friend of ours, not just mine, but of a lot of people in the sports industry. The godfather of sports psychology, Ken Revizza. As you know, if you don't know, Ken passed away about a month ago. We will definitely dearly miss him, but we know he will be teaching and guiding us all, not only here on earth, but somewhere up there he will be teaching. We know that for sure, the best in the business. And we just returned from Russia. You know that. We got a break. We had a great time in Russia teaching coaches and players. Now we're off to Italy. We're leaving tonight. Baseball Outside the Box will be broadcasting from Italy. We've got a lot of great things there for you. Don't forget to check us out at Twitter, Baseball Out, Facebook, BaseballOutsideTheBox.com. The same as our website, BaseballOutsideTheBox.com. Make sure, if you can, please follow us. Forward all the information to other people in the game because it just helps grow the game even more when it comes to education. You can email me anytime, PeterCaliendo@iCloud.com. And as you know, our show, we love to rock and roll and get started right to the heart of the topic without messing any time up. I want to introduce to you Catherine Roberts. Catherine, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Pete. It sounds like you're busy as ever and changing the world through one pitch at a time. I love it.
Yeah, we're trying. We're doing our best. And for our audience out there, I've had some technical difficulties with my program here, and Catherine's been great. We've tried a couple times to hook up on the podcast, and it just failed. That happens with technology, but she has been so patient, and she's, you know, just been on top of it. She wants to, you could tell she's somebody that wants to help people. So, Catherine, I'm glad that you're on the show. We're ready to go. So what I want to do right away is because, you know, this is a topic that you don't hear a lot about in baseball, at least on baseball podcasts. You sometimes see it on social media. So let's start with this. Give us a perspective. You know, I kind of gave a little broad overview of what you do, but give us a perspective of the things you do for the sport of baseball specifically and why, you know, it's so important.
Well, first of all, again, thanks for having me on, Pete. It's great to be with you and great to be able to reach people all over the world and share the methodologies and passion that I have for working in baseball. I know all your listeners do, too. I started in Major League Baseball 15 years ago. First team I was with was the San Diego Padres, and I was with them for 9 years. We talk about that what I do is functional yoga, Pilates, and mindset conditioning. The reason why I also call it functional is because what I do is rooted in the biomechanics of baseball. So what I do with my players looks very different from what people perceive as, you know, quote unquote, traditional yoga. So I always start out, and this is really critical, I always start out with assessing my athletes. And I'll just take a step back. The work that I do falls under the strength and conditioning category. Mm-hmm. So I am hands-on with the athletes. I also work directly with the athletic trainers, helping them with some rehab as well. But we, you know, we always assess the players first. You need to have a baseline for their mobility and stability so that you can efficiently build a training protocol that's based on where they are. And also what I do is very different for a pitcher versus a catcher versus a position player. My programs are always shifting because obviously what we do in spring training is going to be different than maybe a minor league camp, is different than the middle of the season, the end of the season. And I also develop programs for travel days, which is a really important time for people to be focused on their conditioning so they can, you know, offset a lot of the fatigue too. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of in a nutshell, but I live in Arizona and I live some of my summers in Vancouver, Canada. So I'm currently working for 7 teams, and I have worked for most of the teams that are based in Arizona at one point, if not currently.
Well, and you worked for the most important team, the one that won the World Series, the Chicago Cubs, our home team here in Chicago. So that's, to me, that's the only thing that's important.
No, well, I've been with the Cubs. I'm just starting my 7th year with the Cubs.
Wow.
And it's been really great, and I really enjoy them. And just very quickly, I did want to point out, when you talked about Ken Revisa, I had the great opportunity to work with Ken at the Cubs. I heard him present to, you know, the minor league guys, the major league guys. And just lastly, last year I went to the American Baseball Coaches Association meeting in Indianapolis, and at the airport, Ken and I had an opportunity. We sat down for what ended up being a 2-hour breakfast. I almost missed my flight because he's so interesting. I was the last one on the plane. And, you know, he will be sorely missed. But I really did love what you said, is that he impacted so many people that his work will live on. And that's, I think that's the greatest legacy you can ask for. He was a wonderful, wonderful man.
Absolutely. And boy, to have spent 2 straight hours with him, that's awesome. I'll tell you what, let's go on and let's do this. I was reading some of your things, and you know, the average coach out there, because we have the professionals, and I know you deal with the professional, but you also deal with the average coach who's might be a high school coach, could be a travel coach who obviously does a lot of things all year round. So similar to a professional level, because they're training all the time. When we're talking about assessing, you had a 6-point, but I think you called it a tri-pan matrix. A 6-point process. Yes. Can you explain a little bit? And I know, because a lot of coaches, you know, they don't have, you know, all day to train players. They maybe have an hour and a half to set up their practices, maybe practice 3 times a week. Give us an idea how the average coach can kind of begin implementing some of this.
Yeah. So as you said in the intro, I have a degree in chain reaction biomechanics. And so the way that I assess my players is I look at everything that's happening from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So foot function is very important, and how the player, the athlete, moves in all 3 planes of motion. All of my methodologies work the athlete in all 3 planes of motion. So let me just take a moment to explain that.
Sure.
So the sagittal plane is when the body is moving in flexion or extension, and it can be your ankle going into dorsiflexion. It can be your spine and hip going into extension. Okay. So that's the sagittal plane. Then there is the frontal plane, which is any time any part of the body either laterally bends right or left, or any part of the body goes through abduction, which is away from the body, or adduction towards the body, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the frontal plane. The third plane is called the transverse plane, and that's when anything happens in a rotational movement, okay? So based on those triplane movements, I use the six-point matrix, and it's an upright matrix, and I'll walk you through it, Pete. So everyone, if you're listening, you can stand up and follow through me, okay? Mm-hmm. So follow with me.
Sure.
So what I'll do is I'll say, imagine that you're standing in the middle of a clock, right? So I will say, I want you to bring your arms over your head, and you're going to bend your knees and extend your right foot out to ankle height. Try to reach your right foot past ankle height. So you're balancing on your left leg. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Right? So your upper body is going into extension as you're reaching your right leg forward. Okay. So we do six motions, both forward into what's called the anterior, and then six of the same movements backwards. So what that helps me to see is an athlete's mobility and stability, or lack of mobility or instability from the feet all the way up through the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then so that's the sagittal plane. So then in the frontal plane, we'll just have them do some lateral bending right and left and cross. If I'm bending right, my right leg is stretching left, and vice versa. So that's the frontal plane.
Sure.
And then the transverse plane is, I'll have them stand as if they're in the center of a clock, and they take a big lunging motion out to 3 o'clock with the right leg. This also helps me see if they're able to load the right side efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have them rotate their arms and their upper body to the right, and can they explode back to the center? And so we go right and left with that. And that's essentially the 6-point matrix assessment.
Sure.
The other thing is, though, you need to know what you're looking for, and that's where the trained eye really comes in.
Sure.
Again, but just from a general perspective, you want to look for where there is a lack of mobility, a lack of stability,
mm-hmm.
and a lack of movement, or an inability to make a move. So if I, like, let's say I have a pitcher, for example, and I have, let's say it's a right-handed pitcher, and I have them do that transverse plane matrix where they're stepping out to the left, but they can't keep that right leg in extension, right? Their right leg falls in.
Sure.
That's going to tell me that they're going to have a problem with their pitching mechanics because they can't get a full efficient stride.
Wow. Makes sense. You know, and that's why I wanted to start with this, because, you know, obviously you need experts to take a look at this. So I think at the beginning of the season, tell me, you know, where I'm heading here. At the beginning of the season, most coaches, or all coaches, if they don't have an expert on staff, they need to find somebody. I know you have people you've trained not only in the U.S. but all over the world, and I believe they can go to your website to check that out, and you can talk about that in a minute. But my question also is this. Once we've gotten, I mean, you have to do this, because once you've gotten to know if there's lack of mobility and stability, or there are areas that are more mobile or stable, once you know all that, it's much easier. Then you have to strengthen those areas, and then it's easier to work on the fundamentals. Am I heading in the right area there?
I think you're spot on. And I think where a lot of people miss the boat, and this is a huge point of differentiation in the work that I do, is we always assess our players. And I will very often, like during spring training, let's say, for example, like we'll just use the Cubs as an example. You know, during spring training, I might be assessing these guys every 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, the way that I work is that every time I have a player with me, I'm assessing their movements as they're doing the exercise. The other thing that I do, and this is a much more sophisticated assessment, but I do a gait assessment. So when I'm working with the player, first thing I do is I say, take your shoes off and let me just see you walk.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually tell a lot about how they're going to move, especially as a pitcher, by how they walk. And it helps me to also uncover their physical asymmetries. Baseball is a very asymmetrical sport. So we, especially for a pitcher, you know, my job is to get as much symmetry as possible. Of course, you'll never be perfectly symmetrical because we live in the world and we're never perfectly symmetrical, but to make sure that we don't have significantly over-dominant sides that take over. So, but one thing I did just want to mention, Pete, we
sure.
do have a training coming up September 20th in Scottsdale. So for coaches that are out there listening and they want to learn how to do these assessments and cultivate more of an expert eye, they should really consider coming to that training. But that's a whole nother story.
Sure, but we'll put that on our website. And I think I misread it, but I thought you also had people trained. Like if somebody lives in a certain area, you can recommend somebody to them that you have trained.
Yeah, I do. And it would be best if somebody just emails me and I'll connect them with the appropriate coach.
Fantastic. We'll put that on our webpage, you know, with the show notes so they can, you know, reach out to you. Now, we've gotten the idea, okay, the coach, whether it's the coach that went through a class with you or whether it's an expert that you recommend that's working with their players, now they know the mobility, stability, they now begin to work on strengthening those areas, because starting to work on fundamentals would make no sense. No wonder we have trouble sometimes. We continue to work on basic fundamentals, say of pitching or throwing or hitting, but yet if these areas aren't reinforced, we can't really get the job done.
I think that's a very true statement.
How does the coach know now? Does the expert like yourself now give them the protocols to how to strengthen those areas?
Absolutely. We can. I mean, I think the thing that's important to remember for the coaches is that what the protocol might be at one time of the year will not be the same protocol at a different time of the year. You know, you have to remember that there's fatigue. So, for example, sometimes when I'm working with, let's say, you know, the minor leagues, because I do, I work a lot in the minor leagues too, which is really great because you really get to impact the player development.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for example, I might be, the first thing I do is I say to the coach, what did they do yesterday? What are they doing today? And what are they doing tomorrow? Based on the coach's response, I will immediately develop my plan of action for that day. So sometimes, for example, on the minor league side, like let's say during, you know, let's say it's Arizona Fall League or it's instruction camps, those guys might have had their lower bodies crushed, you know, that morning.
Sure.
That afternoon, my program is going to be more of a dynamic, low impact mobility, flexibility program versus something where maybe I'm going to be their workout for the day, in which case I would then kind of up the ante a bit and make it a little more dynamic and stable and, you know, challenge them even more. So I think it's just to maintain your own flexibility as a coach to really be able to zone into what the athlete needs at that time.
Well, you brought up a great point here because I want you to, you know, add on to this because we're talking about a lot of amateur players at the high school level, travel coach, even possibly college baseball. You know, they're going through the season. A lot of times they're not working on anything but playing games. And like you said, they're going to wear down. So this is important, and it also leads to injuries, correct? Or could?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, you know, I would never be so presumptuous as to say that, you know, my work alone will make sure that you never have a player that's injured. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be that presumptuous because the way that I see that I work is I'm one spoke in a whole wheel of baseball performance. But maintaining that mobility, again, as well as the stability and strength throughout the season. And again, like, you know, travel teams, I mean, the travel schedule is insane. It's almost as insane as Major League Baseball, you know? So just something that the coaches, I think if they would say, well, what are the two things that I should focus on? Right. Actually, I would say three things that a coach should focus on in terms of just, if we're just talking about mobility for the players.
Mm-hmm.
One is foot function. Okay. The second one is hip mobility. And the third one is thoracic spine mobility. Okay. And then I would add even, this is what happens to me, Pete. I get so excited. I just want to give all my information. I don't want to confuse people.
But working
the foot function, I think foot function is something that's really overlooked in terms of strength and conditioning and, you know, I think in baseball. When you look at what's called the kinematic sequence, right? The kinetic sequence in baseball, it starts in the feet, right? It starts in the feet. It moves up through the hips and pelvis, moves to the thoracic spine, to the shoulders, to the arms, to the hand, and out to the ball or the bat. Okay. That's how you accelerate power when you're starting to load up to throw or hit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you generate power is it then has to start from your feet through your hips. So you're coiling up with that last progression I just stated, and then you're uncoiling starting from the feet, the hips, the T-spine, the shoulders, the ball, the hand, the ball, the bat, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. If you have an athlete that has poor foot function, it will be very challenging for them to A, use the ground to create ground reaction forces, and B, it will be an immediate leak in their transference of power. So working the feet is critical because, again, it also affects how the hips move, the T-spine moves, the shoulders, and the hands.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say feet, maybe, I know it's tough on a podcast, but in general, are there some general exercises you can do for your feet? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things that I do is I'm always training my players to keep the kinematic sequence in mind, the kinetic sequence of baseball. So this is something, and I can describe this pretty well. So if my back is facing the wall, right, mm-hmm. my back is to the wall. If I take a big step back with my right foot as if I'm going to put my heel on the wall and my toes on the floor. So right now my left leg is forward and I'm in a left leg forward lunge position. Can you visualize mm-hmm. that?
Sure.
Okay. Now my toes are going to be on the floor of my right foot, but my right heel is going to be in the wall. So right now I'm in an elevated arch position in my back foot,
mm-hmm.
right? But now I've got hip extension on my right leg. So just doing this. So what you do is you stand in that lunge position, right? You take an mm-hmm. inhale to slightly bend your right knee, and you take an exhale to drive your right heel into the wall and drive your right hip into extension. So if you just did that 10 times and then you just switch sides. Now I can tell you, Pete, I do that with the highest level athletes and within 60 seconds, they're sweating like crazy.
Wow. Wow. That's very interesting. Now I got to ask you this, Catherine, because it's a bit, you know, we've talked about this on the show a lot. Baseball is a very traditional sport. In the last 10 years, you know, technology has changed the game a little bit and starting to, you know, we're really catching up. I've done a lot of work in Japan and Japan's been way ahead of us. When it comes to a lot of the development. But, you know, every practice, traditionally, when there's a warm-up prior to, the routine of practice, everybody does the same warm-ups. But it sounds like that's incorrect. Uh-huh. Can you kind of go over that with us?
Well, understanding the biomechanics of each position is very important for success. So let me just give you kind of an example. This is a and please let the audience excuse me. This is a broad stroke I'm about to make.
Sure.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But what I see a lot, let's say, that's more of a challenge for catchers than pitchers, is most catchers have very weak adductors, which is the inner thigh muscles, right? Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, the position of catching is a wide-legged squat, right?
Sure.
So they have over dominant glutes because they need to create explosive power pushing into the ground that comes from the glutes, but the adductors, the inner thighs, are extremely weak. Whereas I don't see that as much with my pitchers. I see more tight internal hips with my pitchers versus the catchers that are more have weaker adductors. So like one of the things that I would do for a catcher is I would have them lie on their back, take a little squishy ball, put it between their inner thighs, and then squeeze that ball and hold for like 30 seconds and then release and do 10 sets of that to help balance it out. So I think to answer the question, and sorry, I got a little bit excited as I was talking about the different positions, but I think it's okay for as a group for them to do the same dynamic warm-up, but I think their conditioning program should be quite different.
Ah, okay. So that's where we're tailoring a program for their conditioning and keep. Now, let's say someone, you know, a pitcher, use a great example of a pitcher, you know, let's say his landing foot is his left foot and his ankle is really weak. So he's strengthening that in the conditioning part. He's not necessarily strengthening it in the warm-up time.
He should be, you want to have that balance of mobility and stability. So it's okay for him to be, you know, yes, he needs to strengthen that, but he also wants to keep it mobile.
Gotcha.
If it's too mobile, then that's a problem. I want to tell you a quick story, and I want to make this point about the effect of the foot and the throwing arm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I had a pitcher, and I'm pretty rare in terms of the people that work in professional baseball. I keep the names, I'll be public with my teams, but I keep the names of my clients private.
Sure.
But this was a big league pitcher, and he was having trouble with his shoulder. So the team strength and conditioning coach called me in specifically to do an assessment on him. And as I'm assessing him, I said, "What's going on with your left big toe?" And he looks, and he's a right-handed pitcher. And he looks at me and he goes, "You got to be kidding me." He said, "I broke that last year and it never healed properly." I said, "Your left big toe, the lack of strength and stability in your left big toe and mobility is actually what I meant to say. The mobility is affecting your right throwing arm." So all I did was I worked on his foot function and his hip mobility and his, and in conjunction with the athletic trainers, again, I'm not saying this is all just my work.
Sure.
He was able to heal his shoulder.
Wow. Wow. So that, and that's, so a lot of injuries can be created because of inefficiencies in other parts of the body.
I could not have said it better, Pete.
Okay. That's clear because, you know, in baseball nowadays, as I'm sure you've realized with all the years you've been working with players, you know, we're seeing an increase of velocity when it comes to pitchers throwing. We're also seeing an increase of injuries, especially at a very young level, you know, because their arms aren't traveling faster, but I'm assuming their arms are traveling faster, but their body can't keep it connected.
Yeah, and I think connected, the word that I use versus connected is integration.
Ah.
So there needs to be an integration of the muscles and the joints. So there's another thing too, and we could do a whole nother podcast on the topic of specialization. And I know you've done lots of podcasts on that.
Oh yeah.
But
Catherine, hang on. But this is important. I don't mind if it goes every show, but I do want you to talk at least to the general public, especially our parents that are listening, because, you know, a lot of the parents think specializing in one sport starting at 8 years old, you know, is going to make them a superstar. In reference, it could really hurt them.
I think it's a horrible detriment to your child to have them only play one sport. Let me just transition to another sport. In addition to what I do in baseball, I have a company called Yoga for Golfers.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in the golf business since 1999. And in that business, we have certified instructors in over 40 countries. Now, let me give you a statistic about the PGA Tour. Okay. Mm-hmm. On the PGA Tour, the number of athletes that have made it to the high level of the PGA Tour that only played golf, do you know what percentage that is?
Uh-uh.
Zero.
Really? Wow, you think somebody would have made it. Wow.
And because all, if you talk, like you look at like Jordan Spieth played baseball, basketball, you know, soccer, and golf. I don't know what the percentage is in Major League Baseball, but I know a lot of the players that I've worked with have played other sports as well.
Sure.
So the specialization thing is really not good for the athlete. And there, you know, I'm not an expert in, you know, junior development, but
sure.
I've been in the industry long enough to see what I've seen. And to see guys that are too young having Tommy John surgery is just, it's a shame.
Right. You know, and speaking about young, when you're teaching major league players like you do, and also I know you've taught all different levels, what's the major difference? Is there a major difference between major league players or a, you know, a 15-year-old kid?
Let me think how I'd like to answer that. I think there are differences. I'll tell you the two things that I see as the biggest difference, and this might be a shocker. I think the biggest difference is the level of work ethic and mm-hmm. the mental strength. You know, and I've had big league pitchers say to me, you know, at this level, everyone has great mechanics. The way that I'm going to win and stay at the top is with my mental fortitude. And I think that is a very true statement.
Wow. And I'll tell you what, does it lead perfectly into what I want to lead into next? It's something that you discussed and some of the, on your website, I noticed that, you know, when you're talking about Pilates, you're talking about yoga, You're talking about cultivating the mindful player. So now let's get into the mind part, because this is very important. How does this all interconnect when you're talking about yoga, Pilates, the mindset, the breathing? How does that all work out?
Well, excuse me. What I do is we're always talking about the players understanding how to use their breath and how to control the nervous system. Mm-hmm. Okay. And let me just back up for one second. I also work very, very closely hand in hand with, again, if we talk about the Cubs, the mental skills coordinators. You know, I go to their lectures. I sit in their offices. They come to my yoga sessions. They're there when I'm training athletes. When I started in baseball 15 years ago, I think maybe a handful of teams had a sports psychologist. Now, right. 26 out of 30 teams have a mental skills coach somewhere as part of the organization. So, but what we do is we teach the athlete how to start to cultivate the ability to focus in short spurts. Mm-hmm. So here's an example. If I'm running a yoga mobility class, like on the minor league side, I might have 55 guys in the batting cages on the minor league side, Pete.
Wow.
And so what I'll do is I'll give them all the mechanical instructions of how to execute the positions and the exercise on the first side. And then I say, now when you switch sides, I want you to do this for 10 breaths. And when you're complete, come back to sitting or come back to standing or whatever it is. And then I stop talking, because I want them to, A, be able to really identify with their breathing pattern. B, I want them to take responsibility for their own process. And C, what that also helps them to do is to learn how to trust themselves. So I think that it enables them to then, like I said, take control of the process for themselves and learn how to breathe and learn how to stay focused. You know, on the minor league side, some of these kids come out of like the DR, maybe they've never left the Dominican Republic, or maybe they're from, you know, South America. They've never been to the States, and, you know, maybe they haven't really had it's not just them. It's all the young players, is what I should say.
Yeah.
Really all the young players maybe haven't taken the time to cultivate this mindfulness. And this is a game changer.
You know, and that's why I wanted to get to this part, because it seems to be the area that if you practice it within your practices, you're doing it within the minor league practices. You know, we hope that our coaches can do it also within the youth practices, within the, you know, travel practices, the high school practices. It sounds like you've got to spend time on this, because does it also help you deal with the failure aspect of the game?
Yes, because when you are able to use your breath to control your nervous system, and this is what this is about, is this nervous system control. When I'm in a very heightened state, right, and mm-hmm. I need to throw the pitch and the bases are loaded, and I need to throw a pitch, I need to be able to use my breath to slow down the pace of the game, to slow down my mind so that I can, and not only does it slow down the pace of the game and slow down the mind, but a long cleansing breath releases the body of tension. You cannot efficiently, effectively load muscles that are already tense and loaded. So it affects the physical performance as well as the mental performance.
Yeah, and I would assume it also affects your focus.
Oh, it's all about the focus too. Of course, that's immediately what comes into play, is how do you, you know, in yoga, we call this withdrawing from the senses or one-pointed concentration. How do you withdraw your mind from all these external forces that are coming at you at a very fast speed?
Mm-hmm.
And you do it through the use of the breath. The use of the breath is the first opening to being able to enhance greater focus.
So, Catherine, give us an example of we're running a practice. There's guys in a cage, like you mentioned. Give us a breathing exercise that you might implement, you know, during batting practice with players, because then, you know, and I know it's a long, you know, there's a lot of different things that coaches need to learn, but at least it gives us an example of where to start.
Well, the first thing I would say is we'll just go to a pitcher, right? If you have mm-hmm. a pitcher, I would just have him just stand, right? And the breath is in and out through the nose, right? Mm-hmm. So if they take a long, deep inhale through the nose, they want to think about making space between each rib cage, And when they exhale, they should just feel their traps just dropping down and relaxing, right? So you're filling the body up by filling the lungs and opening the rib cage. And then you exhale and let everything release out of the traps in the shoulders and the hands. So even just something as simple as that, to get some breathing awareness. Most athletes are not aware of their breathing or their breathing pattern or how they should be breathing. And just this simple exercise that I just taught you is something you can implement right away.
Well, that's great because, I mean, you know, if I'm taking ground balls, I can do that. If I'm, you know, getting ready to catch a fly or, you know, to catch a fly ball being hit in practice, if I'm running the bases prior to running the bases, I can do this with everything I'm doing within practice, which will then, you know, enhance my ability to hopefully play a little bit better.
Yes. And again, this is for another topic, but when you understand the biomechanics of eccentrically loading muscles to concentrically explode muscles for more power, a muscle that needs to eccentrically load needs to be stretched, fully stretched. And if I'm already tense, then I can't fully eccentrically stretch my muscle to then load it for more power.
Awesome. Hey, you know what? I was just thinking, we're going to throw a little curveball here, Catherine, especially because you've been at the major league level. So I know you can handle this really well. I want to know.
Well, we'll see, Pete. We'll see.
No, I know you well. I got a lot of confidence in you. I want to know this. You work in golf. How much has golf helped you understand baseball, and how can coaches get to learn golf and utilize some of their skills to help them in baseball?
The kinematic sequence in baseball is the exact same kinematic sequence in golf. Mm-hmm. So what I talked about early in the podcast is this is how, and this is three-dimensional motion analysis. This is not something I made up walking down the stairs this morning, right? This is based in science.
Right.
This is based in science. And this is based on putting sensors on different parts of athletes' bodies and having them, you know, hit or having them swing a golf club. What has to happen is it starts in your feet, right? So it's the energy starts from the feet, goes to the hips, travels to the T-spine, travels to the shoulders, travels to the hands, and then out to the implement. That's the windup, right?
Yeah.
The deceleration phase starts, again, from the feet to the hips, to the T-spine, to the shoulders, to the hands, and the last thing through is the implement, right? If you think about pitching, what's the last thing to come through is the ball.
Sure.
So this is how I actually got recruited into baseball, is because I do a lot of work on the Golf Channel, and the head strength coach for the Padres, again, which was my first team, saw me on the Golf Channel and contacted me and said, we want somebody that can train our athletes that understands the biomechanics of the sport. And that's how I started 15 years ago.
Ah, very interesting. Love it. All right. Listen, we've got about 5 more minutes. One area I want to talk about is I want you, because, you know, the show obviously can be hours on a lot of great information, but we're going to put a lot of stuff on the website, especially your seminar in Scottsdale on September 20th that we will encourage coaches to attend. Because, you know, I could ask questions, but, you know, I'm going to miss a lot of things. You know what's more important than anything else in this area. What are some of the areas that you want to just mention to our audience, coaches and parents and players around the world in the U.S. That maybe we missed that they should know? Anything, and this is your time. It doesn't matter how long you take.
Well, I think the first thing is that they should really understand or try to learn what is required for the athlete at different times of the season. Mm-hmm. So like I said, what I'm doing the first week of an instruction camp is going to be very different from what I do the last week of spring training. So to really understand the strain of the athlete, I think is really important and what's needed for them at that specific time of the year. I think also really understanding if you can educate yourself on the biomechanics of each position and what's required for each position in terms of the physical prowess and the physical the physical needs of each position, because again, they're very different.
Mm-hmm.
I think the third thing is to cultivate your athlete, to encourage them to learn more about the mindfulness practice, about the breathing practice and being centered, being focused, letting go of what happened in the past pitch, not worrying about what's going to happen after this upcoming pitch, you know, to just be fully present, I think would be a very important skill set to teach, especially for young people, right? And then the other thing I would say is this is how I describe my work too, Pete, is that I say, you know, I'm coaching athletes, but I'm really cultivating human beings. And I feel so blessed to have the privilege to do what I get to do every day, to work with all kinds of baseball players, you know, at all levels on the minor league and major league sides, to help them, you know, play better, but also when baseball is over, because baseball will be over at some point, that they're more mindful in their bodies and in their minds, and that they stay healthy and injury free. And that's kind of the things that I think the coaches should really focus on.
Fantastic advice. That is Catherine Roberts. She can be reached on Instagram. Follow her at @human_performance_4_sports. She puts a lot of great stuff on Instagram. You want to follow her. Also follow her on Twitter @Roberts_Yoga. Along with checking out her website, Human Performance for Sports, FOR4Sports.com. And remember, they have a seminar. She has a seminar going on. You've got to go to this September 20th in Scottsdale. That information will be on our website. We'll also place her email on the website. Catherine, I cannot thank you enough. This has been a fantastic show. You are outstanding, and I look forward. We don't bring many people back in the show, but we look forward to bringing you back.
Oh, thank you so much, Pete. And I just wanted to toss one more thing out there. If any coaches or parents have any questions, they can email me directly through my website, humanperformanceforsports.com, and I'm happy to help them and coach them in any way that I can. I'm available for assistance.
And I would encourage that 100%, because if you do that, I guarantee you will become a better coach, better player, and a better parent. So don't forget, get a hold of Catherine. This is Pete Caliendo. I'm your host of Baseball Outside the Box. Don't forget to reach out at my Twitter @BaseballOut. Follow me. Also try to put as much of baseball development videos, instructional information on there. Go to Facebook, baseballoutsidethebox.com. And also our website, the same, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Do me a favor. If you love the shows, give us a 5-star rating. You can do that on our website. And don't forget to email me at petercaliendo@icloud.com. I will get back to you right away. So remember, keep educating yourself and listening to the show that brings you some of the most innovative experts in the game. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. This is Baseball Outside the Box. And see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.